Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
This is The Takeaway. I'm Melissa Harris-Perry. Russia's relentless destruction of Ukraine continued this week. According to Ukrainian officials, Russian airstrikes in the town of Mariupol hit a maternity hospital on Thursday, where civilians were killed and more than a dozen were wounded. Maria Sirchenko is from Mariupol. She was living in Kyiv at the start of the Russian invasion, and like so many Ukrainians, her life just 1 month ago is one that most of us would recognize. Working, seeing friends, enjoying a little downtime, and feeling excited about the future.
Well, the last month was really amazing for me because there was a lot of work. I'm working in a tech company. My role is HR business partner, and we were launching a lot of new initiatives, helping our people with the growth and, you know, professional things. And also, I just came back from my vacation on Madeira Island three or four weeks ago. So my life was really happy and full of joy, love, and friends. Really, it was a good month.
Then on Thursday, February 24th, everything changed when Russian forces violently invaded Ukraine, touching off the largest conventional war in Europe since World War II. In that moment, Maria's life changed. She joined The Takeaway to tell us her story.
On February 24th, I woke up from a call from my boyfriend, who called me at 5:30 a.m. in the morning. And his first words were, "Maria, get up, the war has started." And I was like, "Wow, what? What has started war?" And he told me, "Yes, I woke up from the bombs that I heard near my house. So you have around 1 hour to grab your things and let's go to my parents' house to stay together." So I woke up and really had just a few minutes to grab my things, my documents and some money, some clothes. And I took my car and went to his parents' house under the attacks, really, because we heard some explosions really near my course, my route. And here it started, basically.
I feel like I can tell from your story, but were you surprised? I mean, clearly there'd been some aggression on the border, but did you think that this was actually going to happen?
Honestly, I didn't believe that this will happen, at least in Kyiv, because I'm a positive person and I know that news was spreading some information about possibility of war in Ukraine for some time. But honestly, I thought that this kind of news were just more, you know, precaution, and some people were panicking. That's true. But I am as a positive person and optimist. I didn't believe that this might happen in the 21st century in Europe, in Ukraine. And to say that I was surprised is to say nothing, really.
Now, you decided not to actually leave the country. You're still in Ukraine, but you left Kyiv. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. I decided to stay in Lviv. I escaped from Kyiv after 2 days and nights of war, when we were hiding in basement and constantly hearing the sounds of shelling, explosions, and air raid sirens. And we had a chance to leave Kyiv right before one of the last bridges was blown up. So we drove to western part of Ukraine, and maybe for a week already. I'm saying maybe because I literally lost track of time. So I'm here in Lviv. It's the safest part of Ukraine now. It's in the West. So of course we have some limitations due to war right now, but it's safer than in other parts of Ukraine.
And I appreciate hearing that it's safer. What has it been like for you since you arrived there?
Well, first and the very important thing was to find some apartment here, because you can imagine thousands, maybe millions of people from Kyiv, from Kharkiv, from other cities escaped these cities and they flew here. So for us, it was a real challenge to find some shelter for the few nights. And then we managed to find some apartments. So we are living, together in a small apartment in a studio, but that's okay because many people don't have that luxury right now. And right now I'm here trying to help other people, volunteering. Also, I'm a bit back to work because I want to support the financial system of the country. And, I'm the only one in my family right now who can earn some money and bring money to my family.
Are the banking systems and those other kinds of basic systems still working, still operational for you?
Yep, they're working, and it's a great surprise for me, a good surprise, because I was afraid that the banking system will be shut down completely. However, right now in Lviv, all the banks are working, and I can still pay with my Apple Pay on my iPhone. And, everyone is trying to support the bank system because we understand that it's crucial right now to take care about that part as well.
Now, how about communications? I assume not all of your friends and family are there in Lviv with you. So how have you been able to communicate and stay in contact with them?
Well, I can't connect to my grandma and many of my relatives and friends and close people who are currently in Mariupol. It's my hometown, and I can't connect with them for 10 days already. And they lost electricity, they lost gas, they lost any food or water supply on the 1st of March. So it's already 10 days since then. And I literally have no idea what's going on there in terms of their safety, or are they really alive, or are they staying healthy with enough, at least drink water, because the situation in Mariupol right now is terrifying. It's horrible.
And your grandmother is there, you said?
Yeah, my beloved grandmother, my one and only grandmother, whom I really adore. She's there. She's alone. She's 80 years old, and she was born in the beginning of the Second World War. And it's unbelievable that she needs to face the war again after 80 years. And we can't get to her. We can't connect with her. So my only hope is that she has some water, maybe from snow or from rain. And she kind of stays warm in the horrible situation there.
I'm so sorry. I'm very sorry to hear that. Obviously, the eyes of the world are focused on Ukraine right now. What do you want people to know?
Well, personally, I would love everyone to know that we need to stop this war, because it's not only about Ukraine, it's about Europe, it's about the United States, it's about the whole world, because If we can't stop it right now, and the Russians will go further, and they might invade other countries, and they might start the Third World War, And everyone has the opportunity to help people in Ukraine, to help by spreading the information, by donating, and by any other means that they might have.
You talked about being a positive person.
Mm-hmm.
What is the positive outcome that you can imagine? How does we talk about wanting this to stop? What is the end that you see, or at least hope for?
You know, first of all, I hope to be able to hug my family, my grandma, my parents, my sisters. It's the first hope for me personally, because family is the first thing that matters in such a terrific situation. Second, I'm sure, I'm 100% sure that Ukrainian people will not surrender, and we will win this war. And since I'm really optimistic, I'm sure that this won't last long, because Russians, they don't have enough power to continue this war for months. So I hope and I'm sure that I'll get back to my home in Kiev, and to be able to have the ordinary life again, you know, go for a walk or have a cup of flat white in the nearby cafe. And, you know, just I'm dreaming about ordinary things, because I didn't appreciate them as much in the peaceful time that we had. And right now it's a dream for me.
Maria Sirichenko, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. And I was glad to spread some information and tell my personal story, because it touches not only my country and my city, but my family and myself.